are listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. You will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival sermons from great preachers of the past. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 8 through 18. As we generally do, we'll read these verses responsively. Verses 8 through 18 of the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. And as is our custom, let's please stand, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So when then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And let's read together also the 18th verse, which is the text verse. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And let's pray. Father, bless now, we pray, this message that we're about to hear. We're thankful for this great church, for our great preacher. But we certainly are responsible today to hear, as we should hear, that which you've prepared for us. And so give us a heart that's open, minds that are alert, and a joy and gladness about hearing thy word today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
My text is this. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I think I'm going to bring a Thanksgiving thought today. I want to speak this morning on the subject, this is Thanksgiving. What is Thanksgiving? I'm going to tell you this morning what I think Thanksgiving really is. The message will be most unusual. I, as you know, if you have been in this church for even a few months, you know that we feed our people from the book. You come here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, every service. You'll learn some Bible, I guarantee you. However, I'm not one of those who believes that every message must be an expository one. The same passage that says, preach the word, also says rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and so forth. And so this morning, I'm going to talk to you from that little text read a while ago. But I want to talk to you on the subject, this is Thanksgiving. You know, one of the most tragic things is that we only see that which the eyes can see. There are so many things that are unseen that we could see if we would look for them and at them. But we see what the eyes can see and therefore limit ourselves. I want to make this statement. The eyes are very seldom thankful. I'm afraid that most of us are missing the best part of life because we're so engaged in that which is visible, that we miss that which is invisible. We're so swept up and carried away with that which is seen that we miss the best part, that which is unseen. Everything that is seen preaches a sermon to us about something that is unseen. For example, I gaze at a flag. It may be that that flag is soiled. It may be the ends are frayed. Beside that flag may be the best and the loveliest of Tyrian tapestry. And that flag in comparison may not be nearly as lovely as the tapestry or the Danish curtain or the beautiful drape. But I gaze at that flag and I see the unseen. I see freedom. I see the courage of those that fought for that flag. I see George Washington. I see self-sacrifice. I see liberty. I see Francis Scott Key. I look at my mother and her wrinkled face. I see more than a lady almost 95 years of age. I see more than furrowed brow, a step that's a few inches at a time. I see more than a walker that she has to have at the house. I see more than a face that's been torn and worn by the impression of years. I see a school cafeteria. I see a 2-mile walk to that cafeteria every morning. I see that walk down Frio Drive and on to Ramona Avenue and 3 blocks on Saner and several blocks down Marcellus to the Trinity Heights School. I see a little 50-cent piece that was her salary for that 2-mile walk to school and for the day's work at a hot lunch table and for the walk home from school. When I look at my mother, I see more than that which is seen. I see a churn. I see a shack. I see a wood stove. I see kerosene lamps and lanterns. I look at Howells Anderson College. I see more than Howells Anderson College. I see over 100 wedding bands that this hand, these hands held one day. We're trying to buy that lovely campus. We had to raise $2.5 million. We raised $1.2 million from our people. It just looked like no way. And I remember that morning when over 100 ladies took off their wedding bands and dropped those wedding bands in the collection plate because they had no more money to give. I see moonlight jobs. I see life savings. I see women going to work in order to pay the pledge they made to make Howells Anderson College a reality. One of the great sins of our generation, mankind, is we can flippantly walk across a campus like that and not see that which ought to be seen. We see buildings. We see flowers and trees and a lake and a hill. We see classrooms and a chapel and a gymnasium. But tragically, we do not see that which we ought to see. I see this church. I see more than this magnificent structure. I see more than one of them, two or three largest church auditoriums in this nation. I see more than several $1 million worth of property. I look at this church and I see that which is unseen. I see that handful of people who 23 years ago accepted a preacher they did not know, whose accent was different from theirs, and whose lifestyle and customs were very different. I see people in this room this morning whose mothers and fathers did not choose to follow this preacher, and yet they chose to follow him. I see that little handful of people who trusted me 23 years ago. When I look at First Baptist Church of Hammond, I see those people. I see a check come to the college each month. I see more than that check. I see a dad's perspiration. I see dreams and hopes of a mother. I see a mother's sacrifice. I see a factory. I see a mechanic shop. I see a greasy wrench. I see tears. I see toil. I see furrowed brows and wrinkled faces and stooped shoulders. As I see that check that comes every month for a student to stay in Howells Anderson College, I see godly moms and dads up and down this country, and I praise God for them. I see the Lord's Supper. I see a table here and one here. I see it stacked with the trays, and I see in those trays little glasses. And I see in those trays little pieces of bread. And I see men who are deacons sitting across the front. But I see more than glasses and bread. I see a hill. And I see a tree. And I see that tree made into a cross. And I see a Savior carrying that cross up the tree. I see His back beaten with a cat of nine tails. I see Him bend beneath the load. I see Him as Joseph or of Simon the Cyrene came and took the cross the rest of the way up the hill. I see a Savior on that cross with nails driven in His hands and feet. I see the squirting and trickling of blood from those hands and the wounds on His brow. I see a crown of thorns. I see a Savior, the King of Kings, with no cross or no throne but a cross. And no subjects but a howling mob. And no crown but a crown of thorns. And no scepter but a borrowed walking stick. No royal robe but a soldier's overcoat. When I see the Lord's Supper, I don't see a little bit of juice. I see the precious blood of Calvary. I see what can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, and yet so flippantly we sit here, drink a little juice and take a little piece of wafer and look around and casually look at our neighbor. Oh, let me tell you something. There's a whole world of the unseen today that God's people miss because they only see that which the eyes can see. I see my tithe. I see that 10% of my income and my increase dropped in the collection plate of this church. But I see more than that. I see bus kids boarding buses on Sunday morning. I see them as they get off and hear the Word of God for the first time. I see little bus kids having Thanksgiving dinners they would have had done had it not been for my tithe. I see those buses rolling and those bus workers working. I see when I give my tithe, I see the deaf. They hear by dedicated hands because of my tithe. I see blind people who see what seeing folks cannot see because of my tithe. I see retarded people who know more than unsaved normal people because they know enough to come to Jesus Christ as Savior because of my tithe. When I see my tithe, I see the unseen. I see the greatest Sunday school in the world. I see 20,000 conversions a year. I see a Christian school where the Bible is believed and Christ is honored and soul winning is exalted. When I give my tithe, I see missionaries on foreign fields. I see the work of God going around the world. It's not only a little tithe that drops in a collection plate, maybe grudgingly, but I see the unseen. If I could wish for my people this morning, anything that I have that perhaps many of you do not have, I could wish for you to be able to see that which is not seen. This is Thanksgiving. I see baptism. I see people baptized in this baptistry. I hear the sound of the rippling of waters. I hear a godly man say, John Doe, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. But I see more than a curtain. I see more than a baptistry. I see more than some waters that ripple. I see more. I see Joseph of Arimathea taking down the body of our Lord Jesus from the cross. I see him gently wrapping that body in grave clothes. I see him in the borrowed sepulcher placing the lovely body of our Lord Jesus. I see that body there for 3 days and 3 nights. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying, you sit there on Sunday morning and look at baptism, and yet you don't see what is unseen. I see after 3 days and 3 nights, I see them coming to find the body where Jesus, in the grave, where Jesus lay. And I see them rushing and say, they've taken away my Lord. He is not here. He is risen, says the angel. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor in the dark domain. I see that. And I see it every time I am in baptizing here at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Oh, pity those that just see what the eyes can see. Rejoice with those that can see that which is unseen. I see Baptist City. I see our high school and our grade schools and our junior high school. I see more than that. I see one morning raising $69,000 in one Sunday school rally in order to purchase a building out in the area, the old school building out there. And I see 40 meetings where we got together in little groups. I see $2 million raised in order for there to be a Baptist city. I see widows taking their checkbooks and writing their life savings. Let me tell you something. I can't drive out there down Roman Road or Roush Lane. I can't look at those buildings and just see a gymnasium or classrooms or a chapel. I see the sacrifice and toil of people that have given. I want to tell you something. Every single student at Hammond Baptist High School who listens to rock music is a reproach to those that sacrificed to put that building out there. Every single student at Hammond Baptist High School who is not dedicated to Jesus Christ is an ingrate. Somebody sacrificed. When I see that campus out there, I see the sacrifice. I see moonlight jobs for fathers so they can pay their part to make that school a reality. I see mothers going to work. I see mothers making hamburgers at McDonald's. Listen to me. Listen to me. I see mothers making hamburgers at McDonald's because they wanted to give to make our schools a reality. Teacher, when you walk in the class tomorrow morning, you see that. Pupil, when you walk in the class tomorrow morning, you see that. I'm saying you're missing so much of life because you only see that which is seen. I see a tree. I see a star in the sky. I look at the stars at night, which I do every night when I'm out on the road somewhere, and I say, starlight, star bright, first star I've seen tonight, I wish I might have this wish I wish tonight. Or twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. I do it every night when I can. I love the stars, but I don't just see a star. I see a mighty God. I see a Creator. I see a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. And I see Him who made it. And I pause to realize, Doctor, when I see that star in the sky, the one that made that star loves me. The one that made the rose loves me. I eat an apple or a strawberry or an orange or a grapefruit. And I see more than that orange or grapefruit. I see a God who loves me and created the whole universe for me. Oh, listen to me. that which is unseen brings so much more depth to life and riches to life than that which is seen. I see the Byler Auditorium at Hiles Anderson College. And I try. I don't succeed all the time, but I try to never walk in it without seeing an airplane. I see an airplane. And I see it coming down toward the field. And I see it get seemingly not that high off the ground. And I wonder, is it going to crash? And I see that airplane spraying crops. And I see it make its path and then go back up and circle the field and come back down maybe between or under the light wires or just over the light wires. Every time I go into Hiles Anderson College Battle Auditorium, I try to see that. Why? Because Mr. John Byler, whose name is on the auditorium out there, made the money that he gave us with which to build that auditorium crop dusting. I was driving down a highway, in fact, at Corpus Christi, the last time I preached for Lester Roloff. His 50th anniversary in the ministry. I went down on a Friday night. Hundreds of people, about a couple of thousand folks assembled there. As I was driving from the airport to the auditorium, the church there, to preach his 50th anniversary message, I looked up and I saw a plane coming down toward the car. And I said to myself, that plane is going to land on the highway here. And then suddenly I saw that plane come down near the light wires and then across the field and began to spray. And I said to the fellow driving me, there's no way you could pay me enough to do that. No way. That man, every time he comes down, risks his own life. Ladies and gentlemen, how frequently we walk inside that building out there and not realizing somebody spent years spraying crops to make it possible. I see. Hiles Anderson College. And I see a little man, little blonde-headed man named Russell Anderson. I see him hanging drywall. I see him working with his own mind and hand, his own body. And I see him building a business and becoming more successful and more successful. Till one day he looked and said he felt like he wanted to help us start Hiles Anderson College. And over, I guess, several $1 million have been placed in this ministry here. And yet the truth is, we can walk down the halls and trip down the halls and never stop to realize there's something unseen. There's a man who gave his life to make that college out there. I see this mezzanine here. And I see that parking building down there. And I see a chicken farm. And I see a man in work clothes who worked to make the money. Put those things there. I see Jack DeCoster. And I see the years of toil. And I see his simple lifestyle and his simple, humble taste. Well, I'd like to take every one of you this morning and let you have. There's not much about me I wish you had. But I wish I could take every one of you this morning and give you that one thing. I wish I could show you things you never see. I wish I could put before your eyes things that never come before your eyes. I refuse to live my life sitting in an auditorium without realizing time after time why it's there. And I refuse to go through life simply seeing houses and lands and flowers and cars and dresses and food. I refuse to do it. I want to see that which is unseen. I see 20,000 people a Sunday in Sunday school here during a fall program. I see over 18,000 average last year in this great Sunday school. But I see more than that. I see back yonder in the days when we couldn't get to 1,000. I remember how I wanted to have 1,000 in Sunday school. It just seemed like we couldn't get over to 1,000. And stuck there at 750. I'd drive by the Christian Fellowship Church over here. They were averaging 1,000 in those days. We had the second largest Sunday school in this town, and I don't like to have the second anything in anybody's town. That's one reason why I'm pulling for the Cubs. But I would drive by down 165th Street, and have a little sign out there. You can put some letters, and it'd say 1,002 in Sunday school last Sunday. And I guess I rejoiced with them, but I would have rejoiced with them more if we'd had 1,003. And I remember we tried everything. Every time we'd gain one, we'd lose one. I can recall Ken Chandler, who worked for us then. He came to my office one day and shook his head. And he said, "I don't understand it." He paced the floor. "I don't understand it. He was mad. I said, "What's wrong, Ken?" He said, "We got the best church in the world. Why can't we grow?" And I remember one day a man walked up and he showed me an article, Doc, in the paper. It said Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee was averaging 3,000 in Sunday school. And that man said to me, "We're going to beat this someday." And I said, "Brother Bellamy, you're talking through your hat." And Jack Bellamy, you know how he used to laugh, he'd say, "Ha! Ha!" Jack Bellamy looked at me and he said, "Preacher, please stay with us." I remember the High Street Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri, contacted me. We went down, I candidated there one Sunday. And Jack Bellamy came up after I came back and he said, "Preacher, we're going to do better. He said, "Please stay with us." He said, "We're going to do it." He'd come by my office, he'd say, "We're going to do it." Ha! Like those dark days, that old fella wasn't old then, but that fella, he kept me going. He kept believing. Little did I believe that one day we'd ever have 3,000 in Sunday school. And now we have 3,000 in the restroom again, a given Sunday. I don't just see 20,000 in Sunday school. I see him, Jack Bellamy. I see that pat on the back. I see an altar here. But I see more than an altar. I see thousands of souls that have knelt here year after year. I see young couples standing here on the platform who've grown up in our church, giving their lives to each other. I see the choices of youth. When I stand here and look, I don't see an altar, only I see a body. I see a Jack Bellamy's body that I'll see tomorrow morning at 10. And I see a Bill Salade's body. And I see others that have been here. And I will not forget them. I will not forget them. I won't. I won't. I won't. I see a bus bringing people to Sunday school. But I see more than a bus. I see a great army of bus workers. Last week, Mr. O'Clare, This is Thanksgiving weekend. I counted this week every visitation program First Baptist Church had. Every one. You know how many folks went soul winning this week, Thanksgiving week, here at First Baptist Church? 1,752 people went soul winning that I know of. And on a good week, we'd have as many as 3,000 folks go soul winning that one week. And I see a bus. You know what I see? I see a great army of bus workers getting up before daybreak. I see 20 below zero. I see snow 2 feet deep. I see ice. I see 52 Sundays a year from that godly army of bus people out here gathering these kids, ladies and all, on Saturdays. I see them all day, many of them. I see that those students at Hiles Anderson College that work the bus ministry who can't go home for Christmas. And Christmas is on Saturday. And I see those students coming to Mr. Young, our bus man. I see them coming to him and say, "But Young says, let's have visitation on Friday instead of on Saturday." And I see that army of bus workers, college students that can't go home, Doc. They said, "Brother Young, let us visit on Christmas Day." And he said, "Why?" And they said, "Because we want to be with our bus kids on Christmas Day. And while you're enjoying the luxuries of your home, a good meal, hundreds of our young people whose moms and dads are at home waiting, wishing they were there, and who remember or can see the table at home in a place that's empty, they'll be out on their bus routes, working their bus routes. I wish you could see what I see. I wish your life could be enriched by seeing that which is not seen and that which is invisible. I see the crosses on the outside of this building out here. Hundreds of them. Laid in the brick. I don't see crosses. I see a hill. I see a Savior. I see a whip. I see nails. I see a mob. I see a father turning his back upon his son. And I see Jesus saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I see Calvary. When I see those crosses out there, I see a student here this morning. On Thanksgiving Day, thought about home. I see a table. I see an empty place. I see a breast of a father that's hurting, and a mother's heart that hurts because they want to see their child. I see baptism. And I see Larry Stromberg and his faithful workers up here, taking care sometimes of 300 and 400 people a Sunday in a room that won't take care, two rooms won't take care of over 15 apiece. And I see them as they labor a long time after you've finished your lunch many times so folks can get baptized. I see the offering plates. And I see the deacons counting that money while you're home having lunch on Sunday afternoon. There's so many other things I have listed here that I see that I wish you'd see. The thing I see most. I see the suit I wear this morning. And the tie and the shoes and the socks. I see the house in which I live. I see the food that I eat. I see the overcoat that keeps me warm. And a hat that covers this amazing head of hair. But I see more than that. I see a loving Heavenly Father who loves me. And I see a Savior, a wonderful Savior, who makes it all possible. I see His loving care. I see His patience. I see His long-suffering. I see His goodness. I see how good He's been to me. I look at my house that's far nicer than I even would want to have. And I see a little two-room shack. I see the warmth of a central heating unit and feel its warmth. And then I see a little shack with newspapers stuck in the broken window that we can't afford to have fixed. And I see the wood stove. And I see the kerosene lamp. I see the meals that God gives me. And then I see our poverty. I see the car that I drive, and then see the old Model T Ford we tried to crank. You've never been hit in your life till you've been hit in the jaw by a crank that goes backwards. Never. You never cranked a car and thought you had it turned the next crank, and that thing goes backwards, hits you in the jaw. Muhammad Ali is a powder puff hitter compared to that. When I think, and when I see the blessings that God has given to me, I think of my Heavenly Father and His goodness to me. I don't want to go through life just seeing what I see. I want to see what I can't see. Oh, 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 He's done so much for me. Oh, 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 He's done so much for me. If I should try through all eternity, I should never, never tell you what He's done for me. I see some sailors this morning. But I see more than sailors. I see a mama back home. I see a dad who wishes you were home this morning for the Thanksgiving holidays. I see some Air Force men. But I see more than Air Force men nattily attired in nice uniforms. I see more than that. I see a homestead. I see you on Thanksgiving Day looking back. I remember when I was on maneuvers back in World War II, freezing rain dropping in my mess gear on what little we had to eat, K rations and C rations in the field. I see more than you servicemen this morning. I see more than that. I see some deaf people back here. But I see more than that. I see people who would love to have heard the special this morning. I see people who love to hear one offertory but never have heard one. I see people who've never heard the words, I love you. I see blind folks today back there. I see more than blind folks. I see folks who will not see a Christmas flower. I see folks who will not see a Christmas tree. I see people that will not see the decorations in the yards. I see some rescue mission men up here, but I see more than that. I see memories. In some cases, I see remorse. I see loneliness. I see tragedy. I see heartbreak. Don't go through life just seeing what the eyes can see, but see what the eyes cannot see. For this is Thanksgiving.
Thank you for listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. To listen to many more powerful sermons, visit our website, PreachTheBible.org. If you enjoy Christian music and programming, visit KNVBC.com for Christian music you can trust.